God bless you. I'll be doing tonight's teaching, and I'm excited because I'm going to do a magic trick inside the teaching. It's kind of a magic trick. But the purpose of the teaching is to be... One thing is, what do you have? Your inventory. Another thing is going to be looking at your healing and your miracle from a completely different perspective. And the other thing is going to be like a magic trick to show you something that you might not have ever seen. It's real important for you to understand, to have a teacher or somebody show you what it looks like an apparent contradiction in scriptures. Why? Does Satan know the word? Yeah, and if you don't understand these things, he'll discredit your children and say your mom and dad don't know anything. Look at this. Like the woman caught in adultery. Let him who has no sin cast the first stone. It was right there. And so that's my magic trick. Let's see here. You're healing from a different perspective. So what will happen in healing or miracles in our own lives? At least with me, I'll have a tendency to become apathetic because it's really not that important. I can survive if I don't get it, right? And that's okay. If we are apathetic, it's not that big of a deal if I didn't get it or I can't survive. And if that's your conclusion, if it's not that important, that's fine. Turn to Isaiah, 2 Chronicles 16. We're going to look at whatever your deficiency is or whatever you're lacking from another perspective. It'd be page 449 for the sake of brevity.
Sorry.
So you or I see, well, here's just an example. I got bad posture. I was born with bad posture. It's like a deformity in my back. Can't fix it. Try to fix it. Hadn't worked. I claimed it. Okay, it's not the end of the world. It's not life-threatening leukemia. It's not me losing my family member. But here's an area. It's a deficiency. I can live with it. But now we're going to look at a healing in my own life or your life. And it doesn't have to be healing physically. It's what's missing in your life. What would really get you excited? Then also, not just with those things, with the deficiency, what makes you really excited? What gets you right? If you thought this was going to happen, that would make you the most pleasant person. If Israel knew he was going to red stag hunting next week because he won a trip and it all worked out, he'd be elated. And then you feel in our lives, if there's a deficiency or something, if dad's going to Hawaii, all trip paid or whatever, it can really make us even more pleasant for our father. So it can be that he wants us to have some of those things more than you even want to have them. Why? Think about rewarding your kids sometimes. I just want to be around happy people for a little bit. I'm going to buy everybody dinner so everybody gets along. Why? I don't want arguments right now. And how much more so? Because Christ sees our thoughts. It says Christ, when they lowered the guy down to their ceiling, he said, knowing their thoughts. And he just reproved me recently because I was having an argument with my wife. I was winning this argument too. And he was like, you know I can hear everything in your head. I'm like, ah! Okay. But 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. If somebody would read that.
After touching Yahweh, seeing that his eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth, to show himself strong with them who are perfect towards himself, thou hast made thyself foolish over this, for from henceforth there shall be with thee wars.
So the context with this is, let's look at something in our lives, any kind of deficiency, what's missing, that you were, man, if this just worked out, or if I just got this fixed, or if I just knew the answer to this question, or if this thing that's causing stress was just gone, or if I just got healing. Yahweh is looking for things to show himself strong. And so we can't be comfortable with our life. But what is his perspective on your life that needs the miracle? He's going, I want everybody to know me. And we can look at some of the healings in the Word and in the Scriptures how many times was Yahweh, did he get to show himself strong through his son Christ Jesus? People talk about his healings all over there. And then when he does do something, what do people do? They're going, are you serious? Did that really just happen? Is that verifiable? And he is going, yes. And Smith Wigglesworth says, Yahweh is more willing to answer your prayers than you are to ask. Okay. And there is another thing that I had a vision, a communication once, and I saw myself going before Jesus Christ, and here's his desk, like the Oval Office, and here's my whole life. I did pretty good. As long as we don't compare me with some of the other Christians. And at the end of it, this communication, he's like, Aaron, you did this good, you did this good, you did this good, you never got rid of this, you never gave this up. Why didn't you ask for more, though? Seriously. What? Why didn't you ask for more? I told you, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Actually, your dad gave you a really big compliment. He goes, at one time I got to hear, this could be out of context, but he said, Esther asks. Why did you do this for Esther? I asked. Okay, your father does the same thing. Are you asking? And even in this scripture, he's looking to and fro to show himself strong. And in Isaiah 6:8, what does it say? Who shall I send? Whom shall I send? Isaiah had to speak up. He's given us freedom of will. And Isaiah goes, I'll do it! What did I sign up for? And here's our Father's looking to show himself strong. And then here's his son Christ. You can imagine a physician or an EMT. I had said this with one of my biggest clients. They live across the street from the Grady's. I saw him again today. Brad was like, man, is that Aaron again? He's got Yahweh on the front of the car. It's got to be Aaron. So this is kind of this awkward thing. But here's his client said, she feels bad because her son gets really excited when there's ice. I said, why? He goes, it's not that good of a reason. I said, why? He works for an orthopedic surgeon. There's a lot of bone breaks. And they get a lot of work. They're looking, hey, we can fix that. But but it's a whole other perspective. Yahweh's looking into our lives. But if you just come to me with that, and he's going, I've asked you, come, ask. And then Peter said, bid me to come out of the water with you. He asked. All the rest of those disciples are like, man, I missed it. I should have asked. I should have asked. And one day when Christ comes back, he's going to go, why didn't you ask more? And if we're in fellowship with him, he will say, no more. Don't bring this up. Because Yahweh did do that with Moses, right? Going into the land of Canaan, Yahweh said, no more. I'll let you look at it. Don't worry about it. But and he'll do that. With be seeking, be asking. Yahweh is more willing to heal you. And from this perspective, it could be that sometimes we're being selfish with healing. Why? I don't want to be embarrassed. And I don't want to be let down. We're going to look at one of those examples is in Mark 9:23. We don't have to go there, but in Mark 9:23, the disciples can't cast out the demon, and this child looks like he's getting ready to die. It looks really, really bad. I mean, it looks really bad. And the disciples bring him to Jesus Christ, and Jesus, and he goes, you can do anything, have mercy on my son. And he's thinking, God's in control, I can do whatever he wants. Just have mercy, give him the healing. And Christ said, all things are possible to you. You're what's missing. Yahweh's hand has been extended down to here, and you have to ask. You have to reach up to get it. And in this case, what was required? More faith. More faith. Peter walked on water. What did Jesus Christ say? Oh, you of little faith. It was little faith. And so have you walked on water? Have I walked? No, I haven't. Hey, there's going to be a test at the end of this when Christ comes back. What did you do? You've been given the Ruach Kodesh. Have you done any of these things? Have you cast out demons? Have you done these things? Maybe you have. And just kind of a different way of looking at it. But in Mark 9:21, publicly, and I felt condemned with this. Publicly, the Father says, help me with my want of faith. I have problems at church when I go to a public meeting or a meeting when they say, who here needs to be prayed for? I know there's something missing in my life. It could be, I don't want to have any arguments with my wife when I come home from work. I just want peace. Or it could be healing. Or I want this, or I want that. And every single person in here has something they want. And He knows our thoughts. Are we missing it? Are we missing it? Are we missing it? But this guy publicly said, help me with my lack of faith. And what happened? Yahweh showed Himself strong through His Son. And we all know about that. And the guy gets healed, and Jesus Christ goes, bah, we got another one. But from the perspective, what if that guy would have never spoke up? His son would have got healed. That's one perspective. That's just one perspective. What about Yahweh? What about Him advertising? Guys, I am the healer. I want all of you whole. I don't want any lack. I want you to need me more. When I was a teenager, one of my biggest problems was I had nothing in common with Jesus Christ. Here, I'll go to church. I'll do my things. And after I'm done having five, fun, then I'll become a serious Christian. And you say that once I become 18 or 19, I'm done having fun. Then you get to 18 or 19. Once I get to about 25, I'll be done having fun. But when I was about 20 or 19 years old, Yahweh, he confronted me. And my whole thing that got me to witnessing to people was a bench press. I just wanted to be strong. I had this desire about getting strong. It could be hitting home runs. It could be whatever your thing is. And here was this desire, and I finally had to go to him. And he showed me how to bring my wants in line with his wants. He can give you a home runs or whatever it is. He can give you whatever it is. What do you want? What do you want? And he's wanting you to come to the table and go, let's talk about this. Well, what does a home run or a bench press have to do with Jesus Christ? It has everything, because he wants you to become full in Christ. He wants people to see you and see him. He wants to see you catch on fire and you to give testimonies just like the Notre Dame football coach or player. He gives it to, they lost the game. They got kind of embarrassed, and he goes, this is what it's all about. Win or lose. And wow, look at that. And Christ is going, that's what I want. I want to catch each one of you on fire. Whether it's football or sports or healing or whatever. What is it you want? In Mark 9:21, how many times I didn't even raise my hand to be ministered to. I'm comfortable. I'm fine. Could that be selfish? If Yahweh's looking at your life to show himself strong, he wants you. I want to advertise through you. Well, I'm comfortable. I'm fine. Well, and that's okay. But what about him? If my back got straightened, and all of a sudden you guys go, how did your back get straight? What would it do to your life? I'm getting in line. That's what it would do. If he could get that, well, maybe I can get rid of my wrinkles, or I can get whatever your thing is. And boom, it starts revolutions. Isaiah 6:8, whom shall I send? Now turn to Mark. I'm going to go off on a slight tangent, that what I call a magic trick. We'll go to Mark 5, actually, and then we're going to go to Matthew, then Luke. Who here is familiar with the woman with the issue of blood? Yeah? The woman with the issue of blood? You guys know the thing about Rachel getting her blood work done? This is perfect. This is just for you. Blood work. How many women were there with issues of blood?
One.
Okay. And what's wonderful about this is the woman with the issue of blood is, before we go there, in 2 Kings chapter 4, the prophet is sent to a widow. Or a widow comes to the prophet and says, they're going to take my children. What was his response? He says, what do you have? What do you got? And David Remy did a teaching too. And he goes, a lot of Yahweh's miracles are Yahweh multiplying what you have. So in a crisis situation, or it didn't have to be crisis, what do you got? I got bills! Okay. You got a lot of bills. Well, how much money have we got? Not enough. You got money though. And so, and in 2 Kings, that's chapter 4, 3 through 7, what do you got? That oil, vessels for oil. Okay, they're going to fill it. And I remember David came here to do the teaching, and they're filling and filling, and the mother goes, go get some more. We don't have any more. And David said, she would have been rats. We could have got even more. And he was, and David goes, I wonder if that oil would have never stopped. Okay. And then in 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 42, he multiplies the bread. He goes, take this bread. It was a first fruit bread. Go feed everybody. And they go, it's not enough bread. He goes, Yahweh says it's going to be everything. And he multiplied the bread. And so, and then in Matthew, was it, I think it's 14, 16, Jesus Christ tells them, you feed them. Well, how are we going to feed them? Well, God, he multiplied what they have. The woman with the issue of blood has nothing. And so now we're going to look at somebody who had nothing. Good answer, Israel. So chapter 5, let me get there. That's Mark. Let me see. We'll go to Mark 5. Did I say Mark 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
525.
Thank you. Let's see. We're going to start off in verse 22. Isaiah, would you read for a little bit?
Yeah. And there cometh one of the synagogue rulers by name Jairus, and seeing him falleth at his feet, and beseecheth him much, saying, my little daughter is at her last, that coming thou wouldest lay thy hands upon her, and she may be made well and live.
Okay, what does that mean? Is she dead?
Mm-hmm. She's
going to
die.
She's going to die. Okay.
And he departed with him, and there was following with him a large multitude, and they were pressing upon him. And a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years, and suffered much from many physicians, and spent all her means, and profited nothing.
How much of her money?
All
of her means. So, okay, what is the average income in the state of Kansas? $48,000. Okay, so let's just say she had $40,000. $40,000 times 10 is how much? It's $400,000. Times two more years, $480,000 she could have spent. Mm-hmm. Would you want to quit? I mean, okay, now we don't know how much money she made, but just to give us a perspective, almost $500,000, just if it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I can keep reading.
Yep. Nothing but had rather become worse. Hearing the things about Jesus came in, the crowd from behind and touched his mantle. For she was saying...
She was what? Saying. Okay, I'll keep going.
If I can touch so much as his mantle, I shall be made well. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she was healed from the plague.
Okay, so she was saying. She didn't say.
Hello.
She was saying, mm-hmm. I will be healed. I will be. And why was she saying it? Because it says earlier, she heard about it. Mm-hmm. How many of your healings are supposed to get somebody who's seriously healed or sick healed? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be through your miracle that's going to get them going, I'm next. If they can get healed, I can get healed. When Jesus Christ got me delivered from K-State, when you go to college and you're in your 20s and stuff, you need a lot of warning, because people are going to say you're a grown adult. You're not. You're a grown adult in your flesh. Your brain's not developed, and people take advantage of people going to darkness. They never come back out. When we went to college, there were people that played around with alcohol and stuff. They never came back out. And in my case, all I knew is I was going to die. I had to escape from K-State. Years later, I found out that J.D. Seamster said, everybody talked about when I did it. And he heard when I left K-State, if I could do it, if Aaron could do it, I could do it. So J.D. delivered himself. I had no idea that I could be helping anybody else. I'm a 19-year-old just trying to get delivered. I know I can't do this. There's a depression. There's a loneliness. I don't understand it. But Yahweh was. And I had no idea that it was going to help JD. And that's a little thing. And I wonder, in each one of our lives, when Christ comes back, how many people you guys have already healed? You've already delivered from divorce or whatever, whether you're a kid or not. And so what do you think, what there's a side note with Ruth, you know, something that you have that adults in here don't have? The adults in here, they have cars. Do you have a car? They have money. Do you have money? Okay. Do you know something that you have that we might not have? It's childlike faith. Jesus Christ took his disciples and goes, you got to become like one of these. When I say go, they go. When I say sit, they sit. When I tell them to speak up, they speak up. And there's something that kids have. And you have that. And before we get smart, we start losing it. And Christ goes, do whatever I say, I'll take care of it. But, okay, so back to Jairus. Is his daughter dead? No. Does anybody know the rest of the story? What's going to happen? Go ahead. What happens?
She dies.
She dies. Then what happens?
And she's resurrected.
Okay, so is she dead before or after this woman gets healed?
After.
After. Okay. Now turn to Matthew chapter 9. So this is going into the magic trick. But what did the woman have? She had faith. Who God glorified more? Our Father in heaven. And he's still getting glorified. Every time somebody reads about the woman with the issue of blood, and I've seen all kinds of things of her pressing through, and look what she did. She's supposed to be unclean. She's supposed to say, I'm unclean, stay away. Unclean, stay away. And then the chosen, they did a neat thing. She just wants a hug. She can't touch anybody because blood is contaminated. And here she is. Here she is going to go 12 years. I want a hug. I want somebody, how good does it feel to have somebody hug you they love? And she can't have those things. And so, but who was glorified? Our Father was. Now in Mark chapter 9, verse...
Matthew, sorry.
Thank you. Matthew 9. Somebody should start at verse 18.
Well, go ahead.
While these things he was speaking unto them, lo, a certain ruler came and began bowing down to him, saying, my daughter just now died.
Wait a minute. Okay, keep reading.
But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arising was following him, also his disciples. And lo, a woman having a flow of blood 12 years, coming near behind, touched the fringe of his mantle. For she kept saying within herself, if only I touch his mantle, I shall be made well. And Jesus turning and seeing her said, take courage, daughter, thy faith hath made thee well. And the woman was made well from that hour.
So, what do we have here? Wait a minute. And what's confusing is the footnote above it. And I believe the footnote above it is not in scriptures. It was added by Rother and the translator. This girl's dead before. Then you go over to Mark. Wait a minute, she hasn't even died yet. What do we have here? It's good to be looking for those things because it says in Proverbs 25, it is the glory of Elohim to hide things for you. It is the glory of kings to find out what they mean. So I look at that and go, whoa, what's going on here? And the handout has an explanation. So who's great at explaining apparent contradictions? Good old E.W. Bullinger. I've never seen this before. You read this, you're going to go, how does this work? How does this work? And I'm trying to actually work the math myself, and I went, there's a chance that somebody else has already noticed this before me. I'm not that smart. You go to E.W. Bulger, appendix number 138, right here, and he starts explaining there's very, very similar miracles all over the place that are not the same. Translators of people will say it's Jairus' daughter. Nowhere in the text does it say this is Jairus.
Oh, yeah.
A leader. And then if you go over in Luke, it's going to say something even different. And he'll start explaining there's a lot of things that look very, very similar. One time, demons come. One guy comes that's demonized. Another time, there's two. What is this? And he's going to explain. Here's Yahweh explaining all kinds. Yeah, it looks very similar. He goes, do you know how many people have issues of blood back then? You know how many lepers there were? And so he starts explaining there had been more than one woman with an issue of blood. And there one person comes, the child's already dead, and another person comes, and the daughter hasn't died yet, and you start looking at it, and so the solution is 138. There are no contradictions in Yahweh's word. And some things are going to be more difficult to look at or to figure things out, and in that one, it's an apparent contradiction, but that's what you call a magic trick. It's important because other people would say you can't trust anything that's in the scriptures. But back to the teaching, what did she have? She had faith. And in Mark 9, what did he have? He had faith. And even for him to say, help me with my lack of faith, how many times have I done that publicly? Now, we're supposed to control our mouths. And we're supposed to say what you want. Claim what you want, but we're also supposed to use it to be realistic in things and identify problems. I got a problem. Well, and so your dad and I would do that with healing. Don't say you got the flu, because that's saying you're. And so I still got to communicate that I need prayer. And so we came up with I'm killing something, trying to learn how faith works. But with this guy, help me with my unbelief. And Father, thank you for my faith that I had a straight back.
Amen.
Everybody in here is going to go, I was there when it happened. And then you go, okay, I want to be 2 inches taller. Mm-hmm. Or I want to, whatever your thing is. And Yahweh's word becomes contagious. And we go, if he can do it, I can do it. I want this. Rachel did that one time where dad won a watch for work. And he came home and he goes, who wants it? And everybody's kind of looking at it because it was fancy. And Rachel says, me. And dad just handed it to her. I thought, that's not right. We should flip coins. But he asked, who wants to watch? Rachel did. I wasn't expecting a little girl. And I got mad at her. I kind of hurt her after that. Yeah. Okay. But I missed out, but a good lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So your weaknesses, your and my deficiencies, it could be a bill, it could be, you feel in the, Yahweh's inside you right now. You have the Holy Spirit, and he's going, you could do this. And you're sitting there, and what got me moving was a bench press. What is that? Do you know how many people understood me lifting weights? Nobody. But it was something that Yahweh goes, I'll give it to you. And he gave me a bench press, and I was like, oh! I told everybody about it. I'm still telling people about it. I was 19, 20 years old. What Yahweh did, all of a sudden he gave me supernatural strength. He doubled my bench press. Who cares? You care, because there's things that you want. Fill in the blank. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Would somebody read 9 and 10?
And as once he said unto me, sufficient for thee is my favor, for my power in weakness is made complete. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may spread a tent over me. Wherefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in insults, in necessities, in persecution, and straits, in behalf of Christ. For as soon as I am weak, then am I powerful.
How does that make sense? To the unbeliever, to the Adam, to the sons of Cain? Makes no sense. You're not strong when you become weak. What is Yahweh explaining? At the end of you is the beginning of him. You got nothing left, like the woman with the issue of blood? I got nothing left, like Lazarus who's been dead 3 days? I got nothing left. You don't know how hard I tried? How about Manasseh? How about the people praying for Manasseh for 50 years? The most wicked king of Judah. How many people were praying for that guy? We don't know. Could you imagine a relative, somebody else who's of the line of Judah, also going, we got to pray for this guy. And they're praying and praying and praying. They didn't give up. Man, when you are weak, then you are strong. It is your own ability and my own ability that become the idols in our life, and it breaks his heart. It's once we get money. I was ministering to Rachel going, especially in the federal government, it's retirement accounts. Because now you got so much money in your pension, you're going to do whatever it takes to keep your job. And as those words came out of my mouth, guess what happened to me? What about your IRA, Aaron? What about all your savings? And I go, well, that's a good point. We should be willing. You are my sufficiency. I can settle for what's in a pension plan or a retirement account or a house in our savings. Or I can say, I don't need any of this. I'm tapped into Yahweh's account anyways. I don't need any of this. You don't need any of this. That is slavery. And we start working for the idolatry. They're going to meet our needs. But Yahweh will set us free. I will set you free. I'll set you free from your IRA. I really don't want to be free from my IRA. It's finally big. And Trump just came into office. I'm going to double it. You're going to settle for that? This access? Who had more money, Jesus Christ or me?
Jesus.
He had access to the Father. Everything in heaven has been given to me. And he can give you the same thing. And so in Isaiah 6:8, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? He's looking to and fro to work inside your life, his masterpiece. In our life, he's writing a book and a story for people to see and witness, to show himself strong. And what kind of God is this? He's going to give you a red stag hunt, or me a bench press, or a car, or a job, or a wife, or a husband, or a career, or favor. He's going to give you that. And so that's what kind of father I have. And it goes back to Romans 8. I think it says, he spared not his only son. What shall he not give us? And when you're looking at that, your flesh, my flesh in Romans 6, does not like faith. And it says in Ephesians, your spirit and your flesh, they'll kill each other. Especially when we get ready to move out. You got to be ready. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, if you don't have a church group or something, what's going to happen is your flesh is going to put you lock you in the basement until you're the king of the basement. So you have to have a plan to say, my flesh. But your flesh will say, you don't need that. Just be comfortable with your infirmity. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for today, and we thank you that you've given us your Ruach so that we can manifest it. Know, my sons and my daughters, that I am more willing to make your life extraordinary. Yes, I want to make your life extraordinary than you are to become extraordinary. You watch movies, you hear about heroes, Navy SEALs, superstars, and you imagine being like them. And I want all of you to know that I have plans for each one of you. Should you take the cup that I have for you? So give me both hands. Let go of your heart. And I'll take care of your heart. And I will write the best story ever. And set you free of this world. And give you incredible blessings in the meantime. Amen.